Before we get into today's podcast, I wanted to let you know about a special ebook that's yours to download free today. It's called Five Ways to Connect with God, Ancient Practices for Modern Times. It's safe to say that in today's fast-paced culture, we're all seeking more rest and less chaos. Only then can we find true connection with our Creator. Five Ways to Connect to God offers five unique spiritual principles to Christians who may be feeling dry when it comes to their prayer life or spiritual fervor. These include practices such as choosing a word for the year, the power of one-phrase prayers, and the importance of cultivating thankfulness. Some of these principles are hundreds of years old, yet they offer a fresh way to connect us with the living God. Download your copy of Five Ways to Connect to God by visiting premierinsight.org/resources. That's premierinsight.org/resources. And now it's time for today's podcast.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Thank you for listening to the show that brings you the thought and theology of C.S. Lewis with me, Ruth Jackson. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources, and podcasts. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. But now for today's show.
Well, I am absolutely delighted to be joined today by Scott Toohey, who runs a scaffolding company and volunteers in prison and has got an amazing story about how C.S. Lewis touched his life. Scott, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's great.
Scott, would you take us just back to the beginning of your life, if you would? Did you have any experience of church or God growing up, or was it just not on the radar at all?
Yeah, no, there was no talk of God in my house. I mean, me and my siblings, we lost our mum when we was really young. So there was no talk of God. My dad weren't interested in listening or saying anything about God in my house at all.
I'm really sorry about your mum, and presumably that in some way impacted what you thought about God, if you did ever think about God, did it?
I don't actually think it did. I think, I was like 3 years old when she died. So the rest of my siblings have a lot more issues because of it. But where I was so young, I don't really remember it anyway. So it didn't really impact me too deeply until I got older and become a father and then thought about them sort of things. But it didn't really affect me as a youngster.
And then you ended up on an Alpha course, but that didn't come out of nowhere, did it? How did that happen?
No. Do you know what? It was really strange. So, I don't drink. I don't take drugs. I don't smoke. I'm pretty boring, really. And then I started going to a gym. I live in central London. I was driving miles away to a gym in Welland Garden. So it's 30, 40 miles away. And I'd get there really early and there would be this music playing. It'd be Jesus and stuff. And I'd be like, and I really liked it. And I found myself going every Saturday morning more to just make sure I was there early to hear this 10 minutes worth of music. So then I started speaking to the guy at the counter and he started telling me about God and stuff like that. And then I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I always used to think to myself, oh, New Year's Eve, what am I going to do? What's my New Year's resolution going to be? And I always used to think to myself, I'm going to join a church. Don't know why. It really weren't my sort of, I weren't the sort of man that fitted the mold of a church. But so with that, and then him talking about it, one day he said, it was November, December as well. He said, have you ever tried an Alpha? And I was like, Alpha, what's that? And he said, yeah, it's this course, So I went home and Googled it. And then there was one at the church right near my house. And it was a church that I used to go in and smoke when I was young because it was abandoned. I didn't even know it was actually a church. I thought, the kids just went around there and hung around sort of thing. And then they had an Alpha. So I signed up and that was it.
So what happens when you are on the Alpha course?
Well, I remember before it even started, I remember I'm not scared. I've done mixed martial arts. I'm not a little scared sort of guy. I remember getting to the door and I was messaging my wife saying, oh, everyone don't look like me. I'm going to come home. And she was like, stop being silly. Just go in. And then I see the vicar at the door and he said, you're all right, sir. And I live 20 doors down. I know exactly where I am. I'm acting I don't know where I'm looking for. And he's like, are you all right? And I'm like, I'm looking for the church. He's like, that's it. And he's big church behind him. So I remember going in the doors. I was actually petrified. I was really, really nervous. But as soon as I went in there, that was the start of the change of my life.
And there was a C.S. Lewis quote in the Alpha course, wasn't there, that impacted you in quite a profound way. Would you just say a bit about that, Scott?
Yeah, so on the first sort of Alpha, it's like, for anyone who ain't watched it, it's like, is there more to life than this? And you know, they're talking about all the different sort of stuff of is there more to life? And then it come up with a quote, and it was C.S. Lewis's quote, and it was so inspiring to me. I literally, the next day, I went and had it tattooed on me. It's actually that one right there. I got it tattooed on me the very next day, and it was a Christianity, if true is of infinitive importance, if false is of no importance, the only thing it can't be is mildly important. And to me, it was like, oh, that's it. There's no more, I've told that quote to so many other people since, and I think it's just a perfect formation of words to explain something so serious. If it's true, there's nothing else more important. If it ain't, it doesn't matter. But you can't be one foot in and one foot out, because that gets you nowhere. And that just resonated with me so much.
So that was obviously the beginning of a journey for you. Would you say then that it was that quotation, it was that, I guess, that realization that this is either completely true or it's completely false? Was that got you started on the journey?
Yeah, because that quote really caused me loads of pain for the next 2 days, because it so drawed me in, because I was like, this is really serious. So I literally went home and I YouTubed stuff about God and Christianity for 2 whole days. I didn't leave my bed. My wife was feeding me. I was just sitting in my bed. I didn't go to sleep for 48 hours. I was just like, it's true. It's true. And I was just, I couldn't even get out of the house. I didn't go to work. I didn't do nothing. I was just stuck.
So your life presumably looks a little bit different from then when it did back then. What's changed in your life since then, Scott?
What's changed? Everything's changed. I've changed. My wife's changed. My children have changed. My circle of friends have changed. The way I look at life has changed. I mean, for instance, you know, I spend a Wednesday at a prison in the chaplaincy doing Alpha courses and telling them about the C.S. Lewis quote. And I serve on a Sunday at the same prison. My wife has now come to faith. She's been baptized. My children. But I mean, before I become a Christian, I always thought to myself, Scott, you're good. You've successful. We've been lucky. We've traveled the world. We've been to most fantastic places. And I always thought I had everything I needed. And even when I come to faith, I used to tell people, well, I weren't coming to faith because I'm looking for something, because I was all right. But what I realized is I needed everything. I had nothing, you know. I had, all right, a nice house, a nice car, but I didn't have anything until I found Jesus at all. It completely changed my whole life.
And was there a particular moment when it really became yours, when you realised that actually you'd crossed over from, I guess, darkness to light, or to use a C.S. Lewis analogy, when you sort of passed through into where you were meant to be going from the destination that you were previously? Or was it just a gradual thing?
No, there was, I think there was a specific day. I was actually just looking at I've got my Bible book here and my notepad that I write in. And there was a bit in the Bible that was, and it talks about the desires of the flesh and desires of the spirit. And I was reading that the day before my baptism. And it dawned on me that I lived, and my wife, we both of us was as bad for each other as we literally desire. We live full of desires of the flesh. Everything was about what we had, how we could be flash and show off. And we didn't care about anything. And we cared about each other dearly, but we didn't care about the outside world. It was fix our world and close the door to everything else. And then I was reading that part of the Bible the day before I got baptized. And then I remember being baptized and the vicar said to me, why do you want to be baptized? Blah, blah, blah. And I remember saying to him, you know, like, I feel like I got one foot in and one foot out. And it was making me think of the C.S. Lewis quote when I was saying it, you know, like, you're either this or you're there. There's no in between. And then, you know, and I said to him, you know, I just want to be 2 feet in. And I remember coming out of that water just feeling like, Scott, you're 2 feet in now.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
We're going to take a quick break now, but if you are enjoying today's show, please do consider rating it and leaving a review on your podcast platform so that other people can discover it too.
All of us have wondered what happens after we die, and I'm excited to say that N.T. Wright has written an amazing book called Surprise by Hope that provides a fresh perspective and incredible insight on this subject. This powerful book is our gift to you today to say thank you for your financial support of Premier Insight this month. Dive deep into the biblical understanding of life after death and how it can transform your life today. Supplies are limited, so don't miss out. Go now to premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. That's premierinsight.org/CS Lewis. And don't forget to request your copy of Surprised by Hope. Thanks for your support.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Welcome back to the show. We would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Do get in touch on social media at Premier Unbelievable. Now let's return to the conversation. These words of C.S. Lewis's, they were written, well, he said them actually in an address in 1945 to priests and youth workers, which is obviously a fairly long time ago.
I mean, yeah.
Why do you think that they're still relevant today? You say that you still share that C.S. Lewis quote with prisoners and yeah. I guess anyone who will listen to you. But why is it that they're still so relevant?
I think, well, because it's real. I know that sounds like a bit of a cliche because it's real, but it is because it's real. You know, there ain't many things that you know, that we got the Bible and it's inspired by God. We know that. That's not an issue. But other people that have said things over the years, and I've read lots and lots since then, nothing has ever just been so, this is how it is, this is simple, that's the answer. And you know, and it's so important. But I mean, even like, I spoke at LC Leadership Conference 24, and I was talking about, on the stage, about the tattoo, and afterwards, they come up, the people that ran Alpha come over to me, and they was like, oh, we're so happy you spoke about that, because they was actually considering removing that part in the new videos, removing that quote. And they was like, they'd been praying about it the week before about, is this quote still relevant? And then I got up and said what I said. And I was like, no, whatever you do, do not change that, because it's helped me. And I know other people that it's helped as well. So surely we can't be losing that out of the other videos. No way.
So that quote is taken out of, as I said, like an address that he gave to the Church of Wales in 1945. And you can now find it in a collection of essays called God in the Dock. And I was reading it earlier today just to kind of refresh my memory on the quote. And I found something else, which I thought you would probably really like, given the way you talk about God. He says, our business is to present that which is timeless, the same yesterday, today and tomorrow, in the particular language of our own age. And I think C.S. Lewis was really good at making stuff that was old and, you know, some people might think out of date, but he would take it and he would put it in the language of his day. And I guess you're doing that now, aren't you, with what you do in the prisons and the way you speak to your family and your friends?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, that's the... But, you know, I think that's the most important thing, is to be able to, you know, transfer this knowledge from generation to generation. You know, I think, you know, like the time I spend in prison, I think the prisoners take me well in the prison because I'm similar to them. You know, apart from they're locked in the cell and I get to walk home at night, essentially we sound the same, we look the same, I've got tattoos, they got tattoos, you know, and so we got alike. So I have that. You know, that thing, like, where I get to speak the same as them as what C.S. Lewis managed to do with that quote to so many different, you know, I don't know how it worked so well, but, it, you know, it really did.
Yeah. And there's another great line as well. Your teaching must be timeless at its heart and wear a modern dress, which obviously you're not wearing a dress, but I think, you know, that again rings really true, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, and I think that quote could stay forever as well, because no matter who you are, it's just going to mean the same thing, just with a different sort of, you know, the way the world changes. I think that's why, you know, there's loads of other quotes. I was literally, because of today, I've been reading quotes all day, and I'm like flabbergasted at how many quotes there is. There's like quotes on everything, you know. Obviously, I'm generally only interested in the faith quotes, because it's kind of what I do. But, you know, I was reading the quotes on love, quotes on everything. And I just can't believe that the man, after making all them great movies, well, all them great books that turned into great movies, you know, he's done. What did he have time for? Anything else? I don't know, even know Harry yet. It's just like. The amount of stuff he brought out was unbelievable.
Yeah, he's pretty prolific. So is there anything else that you read of C.S. Lewis or watched of C.S. Lewis or heard of him that you thought is compelling or is relevant for today, or, you know, can be applied to our lives in the 21st century context, which is in so many ways so different from his own before technology really took off and all of that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember when I was young, seeing the book, it going to school and seeing the you know, the seven books, and they would, you know, and obviously I didn't learn how to read till phones, like messaging and work and stuff. I've kind of got myself pretty, you know, a decent level of being able to do it. So I didn't never really read books, but I always, even like the pictures and that was always like so inspiring to me as a youngster. But then I remember sort of like when the movies come out, the Prince Caspian, the you know, the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, which is fascinating because you know, these children go into another world, and my world was dark. There was a lot of violence, alcoholism, you know, it was a very, very brutal world. And, you know, getting to transport yourself through everyone had a wardrobe, you know, the thought of being able to transfer yourself through a wardrobe to a new world of all these amazing, the snow and the lamppost straight away and the little guy with the funny legs, like, it was just amazing. And I think that them sort of things are probably the sort of things where I look back now was the only sort of good things in my life that was a hope for me, you know, where you could think about them sort of things, because there was nothing else.
Wow.
So, I mean, he was inspiring to me, even though I didn't even know who written the books or anything about that sort of person. You know, I knew the book Prince Caspian and the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. I knew they was all from the same person. What was it called? The Dawn Treader. The boat.
The Dawn Treader, yeah.
Yeah,
funny
it's
title.
Hard to say for me, my accent. But all of them, you know, they was an escape. And I think, you know, I bet you'd find a lot of, you know, kids from my era that, you know, because there weren't sort of the technology we got now, who relied on them sort of stories that got them from dark places and brought them to somewhere really special. So I think that's you know, the main thing, that even more than what I think about that, you know, what the quote done for me, you know, as a child, you're so vulnerable, and it brought me to a better place. So it was that important, really.
Yeah, he's made a profound impact on a lot of people's lives, hasn't he?
Yes.
If you could, I guess, talking about C.S. Lewis being a great translator and taking these complicated concepts, putting them in everyday language, and that's what you do so brilliantly. If you could take the words that are tattooed on your bicep of C.S. Lewis and put it in a way that people would understand, what would you say to someone is the essence of what Lewis is trying to say in that quote?
Whoa, that's a big question. I mean, I always think to myself, is this the way I would explain it to people who are literally new to never understanding anything about God, they've never heard of anything. I always say to them, kind of, it's in a basic way, look, if there is a God at the end of your life and you've been doing, you know, like, praising Jesus and learning and reading your Bible, it is the most important thing you've ever done, because by that, you're going to give yourself eternity. You're going to give it to your children. There's no gift greater than Jesus. That's it. There's nothing. You know, if you spend that time and you get to the end of your life and nothing, and I was wrong and you was wrong and everyone else was wrong, you're not going to know it anyway. Yeah. But the biggest gamble that is the worst lottery decision you can ever do is think, oh, there might be, but there might not be. And then not go through life doing, living a Christian way. And then you get to the end and you realize you was wrong. You know, because living a Christian life is only going to bring you good, in my opinion. Why not? Why would you do it any other way? It's just like a no-brainer for me.
Brilliant. And I guess that's why he said that, you know, if it's false, it's of no importance. If it's true, it's of infinite importance. But what it can't be is moderately important.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether this is true for you, Scott, but loads of my friends sort of had that approach of, oh, it's true for you, but it's not true for me. You know, it's important for you, but it's not important for me. And C.S. Lewis is saying, well, that's not even an option, is it? It's either true and it yeah. like, means everything, or it's not true and it doesn't mean anything. It can't be a little bit true.
No, I'm passionate that people must know the truth. You know, like from where I come from, there's so many people that don't know the truth. And like it hurts me in my soul to think that they don't know what I know. And I spend an awful lot of time telling people, because it's the biggest gift. I could give them £1 billion. It's going to do nothing for their life that like what knowing Jesus will. So, you know, it's the most important. There's nothing more.
So, Scott, what would you say to someone who's heard that C.S. Lewis quote that Christianity, if it's true, is of infinite importance? If it's not true, then it's of no importance. But the one thing it can't be is moderately important. What would you say to someone who's heard that quote, thought, oh, that's interesting. What do I do next? What's like the next step in my journey?
Honestly, look out for an alpha, because I do lots of stuff for alpha. So, you know, it, to me, that is it. But if you're a little bit scared of alpha, I think, you know, go on YouTube. There's something called the Bible Project, little small videos. I always think they're really good starters to Christianity. But the most important thing is find one of them.
He's holding up a Bible if people are just listening.
Yeah, sorry, I'm holding up
it's
a Bible.
Right.
No one knows. This book is like the most prized possession I have, because it gives me all the information of everything. And whenever I need something, the answer's always in that book on the right day for somehow. I don't know how. I just read it and the answer to what I needed to know today was there. It's, you know, someone said to me, when you read the Bible reads you. And I used to think, what does that mean? Now I really understand what it means. It just knows to where the answers are, and it really has. It's got an answer for everything you need to know.
Brilliant. Scott, it's been such a pleasure talking to you today. Thank you so much.
No problem. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast with me, Ruth Jackson. Many of the topics that we've touched on today are discussed in greater detail on earlier episodes of the programme. Check out our archive of past shows at premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, videos, and podcasts. Plus, if you register on our website or sign up for our newsletter there, then you will get exclusive access to new content, free resources, and more. That's premierunbelievable.com. What did you think of today's show? Are there any topics or works of C.S. Lewis that you would like us to explore next? We would love to hear from you. Send us an email, unbelievable@premier.org.uk. Connect with us on X, formerly known as Twitter, @PremierUnbelievableFE, or drop us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook @PremierUnbelievable. We have also recently launched on TikTok, so if that's your thing, or you know anyone else who might be interested, then you can find us there @Premier.Unbelievable. Your feedback and thoughts are so important to us, so please get in touch. If you're enjoying the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it on whatever platform you're listening on, as it helps more people to discover the show. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.